Pastor Kim, and this is Transforming Lives, where transformation is the subject.
Welcome back to my podcast. My name is Pastor Kim, and this is Transforming Lives, where transformation is the subject. It is an awesome, awesome season, and I hope that you guys are doing well. You are getting ready for a brand new month. Well, I did a series in Bible studies at my church, and I wanted to share it with you this month. It's the 11 P's of faith, and this episode is where we share on P number one, prayer. Here we go. I hope that you enjoy it. So pray. I have two scriptures I want to use tonight to talk about prayer as it relates to faith, or faith as it relates to praying. James chapter 5 verse 16. Grab your Bibles. I hope you did. Grab your Bibles. Let me see how many of you have your Bibles. I'm looking in the realm of the spirit. Get your Bibles, get your notepads, get your pen, because you need to take notes. You need to take notes. I see some of my students here tonight, and they are in the chat, and they are commenting, and I love it. I love when you talk back to me, because it makes me know that you are participating and that you are learning. So grab your Bibles, grab your pens. Let's go to studying the Word of God, because that's what we do here. James 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Hold on, stick a pin. What did James say? Confess your sins to each other. Okay, let's read that again. Confess your sins to each other. Some of y'all can't deal with this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want to read this in the King James Version. That's James. The book of James, chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to read that in the King James Version for you. The King James Version is the known version. Chapter 16, 5 verse 16, and it says, come on, technology. Okay, here we go. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me see which one of my students, which one of my disciples in the comment section can give me one word that sums up what James is telling us to do here in this scripture. Go on, Evangelist. Evangelist is on the money. She's posting the scripture in the chat. I love that. So what is James 5:16 telling us? If it's saying we should confess our faults one to another, I want you to throw your thoughts at me. James is telling us to confess our faults one to another. What could he possibly be telling us? There's a particular word that starts with A that I'm looking for. He's saying, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. What one word comes to mind when you think about what James just told us in James chapter 5, verse 16? I want you to shoot me some comments in the comment section. What do you think James is telling us to do or to be to each other? There's an A word that I'm looking for. Let me see who is going to jump out the blocks with this one. He is telling us to confess our sins and to pray for one another. Yes, we know we should confess our sins to God, but that's the vertical confession. There is a horizontal confession. Ah, there goes Sister Felicia. Somebody ought to bless this woman of God with $1 in Cash App. Somebody Cash App her, because she just jumped out the blocks like, bam, accountability. You got that right. You got that right. Somebody else on Instagram is saying it as well. Java Janil is saying, be accountable to each other. Love you guys. Somebody cash up these people. Come on now. Come on, Minister Dale. Cash up Sister Felicia. Let me see. Somebody else on Instagram is saying acceptance. That can definitely work as well. But the word I'm looking for is accountability. James is encouraging us to be accountable to each other. Do you know that this is one of the fastest ways to grow? Now, I'm not telling you to be accountable to everybody, because I posted something on my Instagram that's about to start a fire. It's about to start a fire, Sister Felicia. Because in my message on Sunday, I said something. I said, when you don't cooperate with God under the knife is when you get hurt. Only when you don't cooperate with God under the knife, you get hurt. So I made a TikTok video, because they put me on TikTok. So I made a TikTok video and I said, church hurt. People be talking about church hurt. And this is what I'm saying. When you don't cooperate with God under the knife, you can get hurt. And I want you to think about it like this. Even if people are coming at you, you know, to tear you down or to whatever, God can use their knife. God can use whatever they want to use at you to grow you. But when you cooperate with God, what is meant for evil turns around and is for your good. And so sometimes you've got to understand the process that God is taking you through. And this is why you've got to pray for each other. Because sometimes, you know, God wants to do something in you, but you don't understand what he is doing with the other person to you. God will use people to do things to you so that he can get what he wants out of you. And those people that he's using is not your enemy. Judas was not Jesus's enemy. Judas helped Jesus to get to his destiny. As bad as the thing that Judas did was to get Jesus to his destiny. If he hadn't betrayed him, then he probably would have had to get another route to get there. But for the fulfillment of scripture, Judas would have betrayed Jesus and Jesus got to the cross. So sometimes you just got to see the thing that people are doing as a learning or a teaching moment for yourself, and don't allow what they are doing to harm you. Don't make them your enemy, because this is not about them punishing you. When you know who can punish you and the only one who can punish you, you don't worry about people trying to punish you. People can't punish you. You can't be afraid of what people can do. They can't destroy your life. They can try, but the weapons will form, but they won't prosper. And you've got to believe God on that. So let's jump back into faith as it relates to prayer. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. For the fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Here is the next scripture I want you to refer to as it relates to faith and praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. It says, pray without ceasing. Three words. Pray without ceasing. All right. Write these down. Four characteristics of faith in prayer. This is how faith works in prayer and with prayer to bring you the results that you desire from the Lord. So faith in prayer, these are some characteristics of faith in prayer based on these two scriptures we would have read, James 5:16 and 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 7. Number one, faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. Faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. What does that mean? If you are faithfully praying, as 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7 tells us, to continue in prayer or pray without ceasing, faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. You may be praying about a situation and you stop praying because you're not seeing, you know, that thing changing or that person changing. But faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. In other words, faith is in your prayer when you keep being faithful in prayer about whatever it is that you are praying about. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying about the situation. Don't stop praying for that person. Don't stop knocking on the kingdom, on the doors of heaven, until something happens, until something turns, until something shifts, until something turns in your favor, because faith filled prayer is faith full prayer. Let's look at Luke 18 verse 1 to 8. Luke 18 verse 1 to 8. And it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Woo! Somebody say, woohoo! Always pray and not give up. It says, he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what God thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Put a pause right there. She came back consistently with the same thing. There are some people who teach and believe that once you pray about something for, you know, one time, you shouldn't pray about it again. But that wouldn't be true according to what Luke 18 is telling us in verse 2, is that this woman kept coming back to the judge until she saw what it is that she was asking for. And she kept coming back, repeating the very same thing that she was saying in the first place. So verse 4 says, for some time he refused. Woo! But finally, somebody say finally. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet this widow keeps bothering me. You are not bothering God. You may be bothering people, but you are not bothering God. And if it, you know, some we cannot continue to process God in our minds as if God is human. He is not man that he should lie. He doesn't have human tendencies. In other words, God is not petty. God doesn't see it as you bothering him. God sees it as you being faithful in prayer. So keep knocking. Keep going back with the same line. If you only can pray one line, pray your one line and keep going consistently with your one line until finally something happens. You ain't bothering God. God is not like man. God is not like man. God doesn't have human tendencies. God doesn't do that. He's not petty. He's not, you know, God can't be bothered. God loves when you come to him because it is showing your faith. Keep going to God and knocking for the same thing. Somebody say, knock and it shall be open. Yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Day and night. In other words, Jesus using the term day and night, or the phrase day and night, he is telling you the consistency that you need to have in prayer. Not week by week, not month by month, not year by year, but day and night, morning and evening in one day, day and night. In other words, Jesus is saying, you need to come to God at least twice about this thing. Every day, you need to mention this thing to God at least twice per day. So Jesus here is saying, will not God bring about for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, hold on. Will he keep putting them off? And this is a rhetorical question that Jesus is now, you know, speaking here. So you're telling me that God could put you off? What? God could put you off? Oh yeah, we're going to dig down deeper into that, because God could put you off. And that's where your patience is going to be intertwined in the entire thing. He's not going to keep putting you off. I tell you, he will see that you get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, Jesus is saying, will you keep praying until I come back? Will you keep praying until I return? Will you keep praying steadfast in prayer? Because faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. Will you keep pressing into God until, in other words, we've been saying Jesus is coming back from my eyes, we're at my knees, now they're in my head, and I don't see Jesus coming up yet. That's how long you should consider that your prayers are going to go for. Like, there's no end to me praying this. I'm going to pray this until I see the victory. I'm going to pray this. My God, if it takes me 10 years, I'm going to pray. If it takes me 25 years, I'm still going to pray. I'm going to pray until I see justice, because God is looking for my faithfulness in prayer. And so faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. Somebody write that in the comment section. Faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. You can't afford to stop praying about it now. You've got to keep on praying about it. Sometimes you don't feel like praying about it, but you've got to keep on praying about it. You've got to keep on pressing. You've got to keep on pushing. You've got to keep on knocking. You've got to keep on seeking. You've got to keep on asking, because God is going to satisfy you early. Somebody type it in the comment section. Faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. When your prayer is full of faith is when you keep coming back. Ooh, I don't see it, but I will not be shifted. My God, help me to preach this. Help me to teach this. I don't feel it, but I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not, my God, I don't feel like it's going to happen, but I'm going to keep coming back until I see the breakthrough. Until I see the breakthrough. Until it comes to pass, I'm not going to stop knocking. I'm not going to stop seeking. I'm not going to stop crying until I see what God promised me. Don't be discouraged. Don't get discouraged about what you're not seeing. Keep praying. Somebody say, keep on praying. Somebody say, keep on praying. You've got to keep the prayer line going. Come on now. You've got to keep praying until you see the fullness of God. Keep on praying. Somebody encourage somebody in the comment section and say, keep on praying. Keep on praying. That's number one, characteristics of faith in prayer. Number two, confession. Confession. So there is faithful prayer. Faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. So we have established that we're not going to stop praying. But what is in that prayer that we're praying? We're confessing. Characteristics of faith in prayer is being vulnerable. And now, this is not just confession to God, but confession to each other. Confess your sins, the Bible says, to each other and pray for one another. I want to say that we really do need people who can become accountability partners in the church. There are people who need that level of accountability where they can come and just bust open and just say what's happening in their lives. We need a church that is able to handle people's mess and handle people's weakness and handle people's junk and not use it against them, not categorize them or shove them in a corner or you know, block them out of our minds or backbench them because they're doing something wrong. No, no, no. We need people who can handle the truth, who can handle the mess that other people are going through and know how to pray them out. We need people to pull them out. We need people to pull them out of the situations that they are in. Because if somebody is struggling and they trust you enough to come and say to you, this is not for you to judge that person. This is for you to help that person to come out of the situation that they are in. And we need some more faithful people in the church who will understand, my God, that if I come to you with my mess, if I come to you with my struggle, I want you to have faith in God and faith in me that I can come out of this. You see, faith-filled prayer is when you understand that this is not how people's life will end. You have faith for people. You believe that better can come out of this person, and you don't stop praying for the person because you understand that not because they are going through a situation now means that that's where they're going to end up and that's how they're going to live the rest of their life. Can I encourage somebody online tonight? You may be struggling in your flesh. You may be going through some stuff you never thought you would have ended up in. You might have been molested, raped, gone through so much heartache and trauma, and it has spilled over into your life and is causing you to just react out of anger and bitterness, and all kinds of stuff may be happening in your life. I want you to know something tonight. That's not how it ends for you. I have faith in the God that I serve, and I have faith in you that you are going to come out of this. When you talk about faith, you've got to understand that you can't just have faith for yourself. You've got to have faith for people. Believe God for people. Know that where they are right now is not the full definition of who they are. Woo! Where they are is not the definition of who they are. There is more in you. Where is Ashley? I need to say this to Ashley tonight. There is more in you. There is more for you. God is calling you to more. God is calling you for more. And it doesn't matter where you are, where you find yourself tonight. I believe that there's an anointing on your life and you are going to be better. You are going to do better. You are coming out of this stronger. My God, you're going to stand up after this. You may be crawling now. You may be creeping now, but there is more for you and there is more in you. And we've got to have faith in people like that. And you see, the funny thing is that, you know, even if you do have faith in people, there are some people who don't know how to receive that because they've never experienced it. This is not that type of church. I've been through hell. I know what it is. I know what it is to be messing up in church. I ain't got the right to judge nobody. But what I do know is that when you've got people who will believe in you and believe God for you, I need some people tonight who will say, I'm going to believe God for these young people. I'm going to believe God for these kids. I'm going to believe God for this young lady or that man. I'm going to believe God because I see more. You see, faith opens the prophetic over people's life. And so when I'd say to you, my God, Ashley, I see you as a prophetess. I see you as an intercessor. I see you as a prayer warrior. It may not be where you are now, but it's definitely what I have the faith for you to, or where I have the faith for you to get to. My God, you know, shortly after this, you're going to see some new faces on here preaching. You're going to see some new faces on here preaching because I believe by faith that the people that God has surrounded me with are learning and they are growing, and I have faith that they're going to do better than I'm doing. Listen, y'all can't come up here and not do better. You should be doing better, and I have faith to believe God that there is better that you're going to do and that you are going to do absolutely better. So we've got to come to the place not only where we are able to hear the confessions of others and become accountability partners, but we too have got to come to the place where we are able to openly express what's in our hearts. Because talk the truth and shame the devil. Sometimes when you confess it to God, you go back to God and you go back over and over. You say, God, you know, I just want to say this and da-da-da-da, and I'm confessing this thing, and, you know, this person hurt me, and I'm just bitter with them, or I hate on them or whatever, and I'm doing this because they did this and that and third. And so, you know, you're going to God and you're saying it to God, but there's just no closure. Anybody ever experienced that? Me, sir. Me, ma'am. Like, I'm going to God about it, but I'm not experiencing closure because, you know, the person who hurt me wasn't God. So I'm telling God about this, but that's not, you know, I'm not receiving that freedom in my prayer closet. I'm not feeling that closure. And it's not until sometimes I would go to somebody and tell them, somebody who is more spiritual than I am and somebody who, you know, I'm accountable to, like my pastor or my leaders, and I'll say to them, you know, this is what's going on in my life, is when I really feel the freedom, because not only am I experiencing just me letting that off me, I'm receiving prayer. And there's a system of exchange. I'm releasing what's bothering me. And then there's a system of exchange. And usually there's encouragement and there's a, you know, there's an outpouring, there's a filling up that happens. And you feel better. You feel that release, because sometimes we think that it's only in our prayer closet that we're going to get that release. But no. Here it is. James is encouraging us that we should confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. And so faith in prayer is really being vulnerable. You have to have faith not just in God, but have faith in people, so that you can now find a safe place to release your... Don't sit at home with that struggle. You know, while I was praying for you guys, and you know, I just heard the Lord saying that in this season he wants me to push to really pull people in, because there's a social distancing that's happening really in the realm of the spirit, and people are pulling away because they are struggling. But God is saying, my heart is reaching out for you. And as I'm saying this, I feel it so deeply in my heart, because there are so many people pulling away in this season. But God is saying, no, come back. Come back with your struggle. Come back with all of what's going on with you and in you. I can take care of that. You know, I've got folks who are ready to help you to carry that, and you don't have to carry that on your own. And so God don't want no social distance in this time. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, I feel to encourage you tonight that you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. And there are people that God is surrounding you with, who's been where you've been, or maybe not even have been where you will have been, but can empathize with you and understand where you are and pull you out of that place. You are not alone, Zoisha. It doesn't matter what you're going through. We are in this together. We are in this together. So I know that it is ordinary, or it is the regular, the usual, or it is natural for you to go and hide yourself under a bushel with that light you carry. No, it is the usual, or it is natural, I should say, for you to go and hide, because that's what Adam did. When Adam slipped up, Adam went and he hid himself. And so God would have slain the lamb right in that garden right there. Jesus wasn't just slain on the cross. He was slain from the foundation of the earth.
Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Remember, turn this into an application, because it's not just information, it's transformation. And when you apply it, you will get manifestation. My name is Pastor Kim, and this is Transforming Lives, where transformation is the subject.